Welcome to the Overreact podcast.
And in a society that puts women in a box,
let's overreact.
Let's overreact indeed. I'm your host, Monica Muhoya.
It's your girl, Angela Wamboi.
And it's your girl, Lash Angela. And we are back at Kofisi 9. It's an exciting day today because we also have another content creator, which I will introduce in a minute. So we definitely recommend you come to this place. It's where we record our Overreact podcast. And if you see us, say hello and do check out the spaces. So today's episode, we actually have somebody who uses this space. His name is Eli Mwenda. If you don't know who he is, he's an incredible, multifaceted individual who's mainly known in the social media scene for Insta Market 254 and Man Talks more specifically, but he also is an entrepreneur. But I'm gonna let him introduce himself and tell us a fun fact about yourself. Mm-hmm. Take it away.
First of all, that intro was flawless, guys. Fantastic. thank you for having me. My name is Eli Mwenda. Big fan of you guys and what you've been doing, first of all. So really happy to be here. Thanks for having me. I am, like you said, a content creator. I host a podcast here in Kofisi, amazing space, like you said, check it out. And also I run an event that supports small businesses called the Insta Market 254. And I make content myself online, among other things.
Mm-hmm. So we have a famous person in our midst.
Yes, that's cool.
One who came from ovaries.
Oh, yes.
Doesn't have one, but we appreciate your presence.
Yeah, wow. He actually openly said that he's a fan of ours, of what we do. So this table is an invitation to overreact with us. And let's talk about this notion of women are supposed to be emotional, but men are supposed to toughen it up and grow some, you know, you don't cry. Men don't cry in here. So let's overreact around that notion. Yeah.
So that's intense. But before I say that, I didn't say my fun fact, which kind of links to this, right?
Yes.
And I'll explain why it links. At one point in my life, I was convinced that I was going to be an R&B singer.
There is. Your dreams are valid.
Exactly. Shout out to Alvisa. So that's my fun fact. Speaking of R&B singers, emotionality.
Emotional. I see what you did there.
Yeah. The notion in society about men not meant to be emotional, etc., is something that I think we're plagued with every day, and it's something that made me start the podcast Man Talk, right? It was through conversations when I realized that there's a point a guy gets to where he just shuts off, right? The way I've sort of seen it and the way we talk about it online. The way I've seen it and the way when we speak about it, because we go weekly live on our podcast and we get guys to come in and talk about it. What we've realized is it doesn't start when you're an adult, right? It starts when you're a child. So if you're thinking about your group of friends, and I think about my group of friends, if something went wrong and I was emotional, my first reaction in the group is to not show that I'm emotional, is to either be violent, be funny, or just walk away from the situation, right? So I feel like emotions are like a muscle. If you don't train them, you're never gonna be able to express them. And I've seen the journey I've taken with the podcast, being able to now express emotions because I talk about it so much. So when it comes to men having that scenario, if we parallel that to a lady, when there's a situation in like a friendship group, normally they're going to now talk about it, express it. I feel like you didn't listen to me, you know? So I think when you're going through life and there's those two parallels happening, when you now reach the stage where you're a man and when someone reaches the stage where they're a lady, the muscle has not been exercised on the man's part and the lady is very much aware of how to express their emotions. And I think that's where we start to find a society that's very different because you've got two people that one's very good at something, one's very bad. And when they come together and that comes up, you'll find the lady will lead because they can be like, I feel like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the guy's like, I've not done this forever. So how am I going to match you and have this conversation about anything emotional? And then we tend to suppress, et cetera. And then radical behavior comes from that.
Is that, well, we know what Man Talks is all about. So when we are talking, when you were talking, it triggered something. I read Brené Brown called Daring Greatly. And she talks about vulnerability and shame. So something that women are able to embrace and men can't. Like, you can't be vulnerable. You can't show me your tears because you're weak.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. How is Man Talk shattering that theory? And how are you trying to make men be in touch with who they are, not to eat their feelings?
Or fly with them.
Or spend them. How is Man Talk trying to solve that. So I think what we said as a podcast is, if we can't tell people to be a certain way if you're not like that yourself. And we realized that subconsciously, before we met, we'd all done a lot of self-work. By all, I mean me and my boy Oscar, who hosts with us. We both went through something in life that meant that we had to evolve, right? Mm-hmm. With us being able to evolve, when we started the podcast, we were like, you've been through this, I've been through this. When it comes to being vulnerable, we're familiar with it. And that was just luck that we both took that journey. So we said, if we're at this point and we want other people to take the journey, other young guys, all we can do is preach what we've experienced. And one of our taglines, surprisingly, is actually that vulnerability is strength, right? Mm-hmm. So trying to flip the narrative and being like, if you're being vulnerable, don't look at that as like a weakness, like a disability as a guy. Mm-hmm. So whenever we go on a live, whenever we go on an episode, we try as much as possible to be people that maybe a younger 16-year-old can look at and be like, that guy's cool. I like how that guy dresses. I like what he does online. He's a cool guy and he's also vulnerable. So it's literally being the change you want to see and showing that if I can do it, you can do it too. And the way we do that is through having conversations that forces that out of us. Because if you're talking about a topic that a guy would normally shy away from, like we mentioned, and now you go and you tackle it head on and you say, no, I felt like this, I felt like this, then you'll find that the younger guys, when I bump into somebody, he goes, by the way, you did something on Man Talk, you said this, and I was able now to do the same thing in a conversation I had with someone I love. So that's what we've been doing.
All right. So, Eli, let's switch gears to talk about men and mental health. Mm-hmm. I like how you've broken things down. So there is a study that we saw. So according to worldpopulationreview.com, it shows that globally death by suicide is more common in men than women. For instance, in Lesotho, which is a country with the highest suicide rate globally of 72.4% per 100,000 people for men, it's almost four times by the number of women. In Kenya, we're at 9.1%, but the same applies to higher rates for men, which it's triple the number of men that commit suicide compared to women. So I'm sure with your platforms, you know, on social media, you get a lot of different messages from different men seeking advice. In your opinion, what's the main cause of unhappiness in men or depression? You can also speak about your own personal challenges and how you navigate those dark times.
Now I have to practice what I preach and actually talk about my one.
Get vulnerable.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. So I look at it in quite a practical way in terms of how somebody ends up getting to that very dire place where they think the end is finality, right? So I think when you go through pressure in life, and we talk about being able to express the pressure you're going through, you think that a man going through something, the way he looks at it means that he's probably not hurting as much as a lady. A lady going through something, they show they're hurting more, right? But in reality, all of us, okay, there's hormones aside, but like all of us have the same chemical reactions that happen when we're stressed, right? And a lot of the time, if you don't ever express that, it builds up, it builds up, it builds up. You never get the chance to go and talk to someone and lighten the load and spread that, right? So I think through going through maybe 3 months, 6 months of feeling things, not expressing them, your cortisol levels are going high, right? They're going high, they're going high. And it gets to a point that you can't be rational. And you've not been able to get a perspective from outside of a situation because you think, I'm a guy, no one would ever listen. I saw a video online where it was loads of guys basically expressing, saying, like when you're in a dark place, who do you talk to? And their first reaction, I don't know if you guys saw it on Instagram, the first reaction was shock, like talk to, as in, like, what do you mean talk to? I'm a guy, like no one's gonna listen. So it's that having that mentality, then things build up, and then the stats happen because the guy can never express that. Now on the flip side as well, now when, say you're in a group of friends, 10 group of friends, right? One of your guys goes. So I saw a study as well, it was actually done in Meru to do with when one guy commits suicide, what happens to the immediate friends? And apparently the contemplation rate goes up by four if somebody around you has actually done it. Because you've looked at that as a potential avenue. You've seen it in someone you love, right? It's like when someone gets married, you're like, oh, people actually get married. When someone takes their life, it's like, oh, that was a way out. But no one checks on those guys that were friends with the guy that committed. So you have like a feedback loop, right? One guy does it. The other guy thinks, when he gets to that place, I can't talk to someone. Fred did that. Mm. You know, and then I think that's how the stats kind of multiply. Now to the tough bit about me, right? I've said that, you know, we practice what we preach, etc., etc. So I still struggle, even though I'll tell guys, you know, talk, I'll still struggle. And I've still had moments where I've taken an extensive period of time before I actually speak. And I felt those serotonin levels, those cortisol levels go up until I was actually able to vocalize what I was going through. And the only way I was able to vocalize is because I have a podcast and I talk, right? So that's been my journey, like using the skill from the podcast to now into real life situations and express myself.
Who are you vocalizing to? Do you go for therapy or is it with Oscar or like do you have do you have a safe space of people that you can approach, or maybe like you can go to your dad for this or your brother for this?
So typically my first point of call is normally to a lady, because I think you guys have a superpower when it comes to listening and then actually like digesting what the person's saying. When you talk to a guy, there's an initial reaction where they want to make a joke or they want to like lighten it, you know, or give a solution. But sometimes you want someone to just listen. But guys are fixers. So if you talk to your boy, he's like, cool, do this. It's like, no, just listen to what I'm saying. So my circle typically has been ladies, my mum, my sister. But I've made a very conscious effort to try and talk to guys. The last situation I went through, I couldn't talk to a lady about it because... So when I spoke to a guy, which was actually my boy Oscar, he literally, this was, okay, I won't give a timeline in case someone watches this, basically he completely centered me. And that was because for the first time, I'd taken a week of being in my own head and I gave it to someone else outside of it, and he rationalized it. It was like, bro, like one of the things he said is like, remember, like you're Eli, like remember who you were before the situation. And I was like, oh yeah. Then there was a perspective of, okay, in 20 years time, will this matter? And I was like, no. And then that like sort of shook me back. So being able to use the skills, vocalize and get a perspective that's clear has been my process when I'm going through something.
I love how like as Man Talks and Sister Speaks, we have synergy, because the idea is to, even women, like I know we talk a lot, but like sometimes you don't even realize that somebody's been going through something for so long and has been holding this load, and then all of a sudden just breaks over, you know, completely nothing and nonsensical. And, you know, it just, and sometimes it does, it's that thing that sometimes I'm not talking for you to give me advice. I'm just talking for you to listen. So it's to learn the difference between the two. And at times we're very quick to be like, oh, get over your damn way, and and or like belittle what it is that you're going through. And, you know, just finding those people that you can run to that make it safe for you. And you know that what I tell Angela is not going to leave this conversation and go out there, and you go meet your other friend, be like, oh, yeah, yeah, I heard about what you're going. And you're like, what? I was telling you this in person. So like what you've highlighted is the difference between our genders, right? So how we think. And so bringing it full circle in the journey of like manhood and also the journey of womanhood. And I had this conversation with a friend of mine and two guys, and they made me realize how different our thinking is. So like, for instance, I thought about my outfit today. Like I thought about all the places I'm going to go, and I'm like, okay, cool. Today's a get in the car day, no Bordeaux vibes, you know, but like, there's so many thinking processes that happens to women. So for instance, as I'm growing up, I'll use myself as an example. So when I was turning 18, I was like, cool, I'm going to go to uni. After I go to uni, so I'm going to finish maybe like, what, 21, 22. Then I'm probably going to meet the love of my life around, oh God, if I'm lucky, 23. Then we're going to, you know, date for 2 years. And then 25 is going to propose to me. 27, get married, have our first child. Then when I'm 30, I'm going to have my second, 33, third one. And then maybe like 36, maybe just have that one last one. So I was living life knowing I'm going to pursue my career, but then at some point I'm going to have a family, and then I'm going to have to take a break. But I feel, and you will correct me if I'm wrong, is that men don't think like it's just about like my goals, because the difference between the two of us is a man is being brought in the society to know that he's going to provide. And then what does a woman do? Brought into the society, you know, she's going to produce. She's going to produce babies. She's going to, you give her eggs, she makes you an omelet, you know, like we're known to do that. But you're the one who's providing these eggs, and then I'm going to turn them. Is that a correct thinking process? Have I broken you down? Obviously what I'm saying is doesn't apply to all men, but maybe majority.
Yeah. So, I'll have to put on two hats, because for me, ever since I was like a young boy, I've been like, oh, I can't wait to have kids, can't wait to do it. I already named them, you know? So my perspective was very different. But I can theorize, right? So if I'm thinking about like a guy on a journey to be like, what is success look like for you? A lot of the time, and I think, and we'll get to when he achieves success, right? So I think a lot of the time, guys that I actually have conversations with as well, in their, you're very right, in their thinking, it's that, you know, everything I'm doing now is to make bread and to, a lot of the time, actually look better to other guys, not even to like ladies. A lot of the time it's like, I'm in competition with my peers. I want to achieve something by 30, and it's normally to do with what other guys have achieved by 30. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time, it's rare that you'll see a guy is saying, I want to achieve what my friend did, which is a family. A lot of the time it's like, no, I want to get a better car, I want to get a better house. Mm-hmm. So even on that journey you're talking about, a lot of it is very materialistic and competitive, right? And like you said, the parallel, the ladies think about family. And the really funny thing is, like, while that journey is happening, the muscle we're talking about, he's training the muscle for capitalism. He's training the muscle, mm-hmm. to make money. But he's not being like, I need to mentally prepare to accommodate a family, mentally prepared to like nurture and mentally prepared to have a lady in my life and be able to listen and, you know, have that emotional intelligence. So even if they achieve all of that, and then the lady you've mentioned that achieved the same thing and they meet, again, she's like 10, 20 steps ahead. And then you'll find, you know, there's a stereotype.
She's already Mrs. Wenda.
Exactly. Wow.
Interesting, yeah?
Yeah. So I feel like then there's that kind of disconnect. It's like, okay, we both said we want to be in a relationship, but I've been prepared for a relationship. You've been prepared for cash, for like a house, for money, etc. And then, you know, there's that stereotype where it's like, my dad's always hustling. He never comes home, mm-hmm. right? I feel like a lot of the time that comes because the guy is probably actually scared because there's a lot of emotion to handle with. That to handle when he gets to the house, but he's more comfortable in keep doing what he's doing, which is office, money, planning, etc. So I think that's what I've seen happen, even with like some of my friends when we're talking about their future. You don't really hear
that's
a lady.
Crazy.
So when I'm dating, I'm dating you. Okay. When do I push
Congratulations.
You? Thank you. Now it's out, the secret is out, guys. So I'm dating you.
Yeah.
And like now you know my thought process, right? So when I'm dating you, I'm like, oh, building castles in the sky with Eli. Yeah. Oh my God. Angela Monda, that sounds so perfect.
Yeah.
And so I build all this. Mm. And so perhaps I'm not dating who you are. I'm dating the potential of who you are. And I will push you and test you. And I'll be like, I really can believe that you can achieve this. Because in my mind, I also know that I am looking for a provider and I want all these things. When do I know this guy? I don't even bother pushing him. You're gonna mold him, he's gonna leave you and date Monica.
Yeah. I think a lot of the time, and this might sound like really harsh, right? Mm-hmm. But a lot of the time, if you look at guys' decision making, he will take risks for what he actually wants. So I think if you find yourself in a scenario where you're like, he's not taking the jump with me. It's not that he's not ready. It's not ready to take the jump with you specifically, because you'll see. Okay, let's talk about
preach.
Exactly, you know, right,
ladies. Take notes.
Yeah, he's going to serve that potential to someone else.
Exactly, and you know when you see a guy, and I've seen this so many times. Like a guy is with a girl for a long period of time, never gets with her, never, and she's like, "I'm so frustrated." There's a whole show on Netflix about this, like The Ultimatum, right?
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that's a story for another day.
Yeah, so there's a lot of guys. They're like, oh, "I'm not taking the jump. I'm not taking the jump." Then the girl will be like, "I've had enough." Like, I'm done.
Yeah.
6 months later, the guy will be married before the girl. That's because he was ready, but it wasn't with you. But a lot of the time, guys are scared to have the conversation and actually break it off and say it's not you, because everything else is perfect. But like, he'll be like, I'm just not ready. I'm working on myself, etc., etc., etc. So I think guys that do want to will do it, because if you ask the same guy to leave this job, get a lower paying job because there's a potential for something better, he'll do that. It's the same risk calculation the guys do. Yeah. So yeah, if he's like fumbling about saying, just wait for me, all this stuff, it's probably just not you. That's what I'd say if my sister was like asking me.
Wow. Question. Yeah. Do you think the society conditions women to aspire to be, you know, you
wives?
Said it, yeah, wives,
mothers,
and then at the back of our head, this seed of being a natural is, you know, planted, but who plants it in men? Ooh. And how as our generation are able to uncondition ourselves and learn that and teach the generation that is going to pop out of our ovaries that it can be the other way.
She said pop.
Yeah. We're in the business of popping.
Exactly. So the narrative you mentioned about, you know, women having that condition, they want to be mothers. I really think it's changing at a like dramatic pace. Shout out to the city
is
girls.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah, like the girls aren't looking at that as like their be all end all. Because a lot of the time they're thinking, if a guy comes, he comes, but my career. They're basically, it's shifting, like they're literally turning into the guys we were talking about, right? And I think that's a brilliant thing. There is also that thing where they'll hustle for ages and be like, yeah, I'm independent. But then 35 comes and they're like, okay, this was cute. But now it's like, I kind of do want to. So it's always going to creep up. Yeah. But I don't think we live in the same society where that's their like goal. But the goal will come, but much later on. And then just repeat the one you mentioned about the men. Who's planting the seed in them?
Who plants the seed in them? Who conditions the men that you should aspire to be a provider? And then just offer.
A natural.
Who conditions men or who plants that seed? And then there's something we were talking off air about, like men, they're deemed responsible and that endears them to the corporate ladder. If you're a family man, but if I am a mom or I show up in an interview pregnant, it's a deal breaker.
Yeah. I'll go backwards. So the guy that is looked at better in like a work environment, I think it's because a lot of the time, when a guy is in a family setting, like we've mentioned before, he's looked at as a provider, right? As someone that can plan and look after all these people. So now when he gets to the company setting, it's like, you can do that at home. That means you probably do it in the office and be like a higher position because you can look after kids, a wife, etc. And then I think it also goes to just that typical narrative of like family man that comes with, like, in society, you're like a responsible, you'll be part of like the little football club here, you know, and I think it comes with a lot of things saying that you can handle pressure from outside. But what's really ironic in this whole scenario is you can only go so far as a man, right? A lot of the time, the man that is the most successful, has everything together, like you're looking after the family. Normally, when he goes to bed at night, it's like a conversation between the two of them, but they don't get the same respect as soon as they leave the bedroom, right? It's like the guy can only do all of these things and manage everything because he has a lady with him. Like, it's very hard to find a successful guy in a society that doesn't have a lady that's actually carrying doing the work behind the scenes, right?
I'm shaking my head because you just said a family man, and I'm just going back and I'm thinking, have you ever heard of a family woman? Or it's a housewife?
Oh, interesting. My God.
Wow, pop.
If I could drop this mic, words.
That's so true, family woman.
Yo, I've never heard of family woman.
That's so true.
It's always a housewife.
Yeah, what if they're same sex? Are they called family women then?
Yeah. Well, now maybe the narrative's changing because now we can have those conversations.
Yeah.
While back in the day it was, you know, very heterosexual.
Maybe it's just a language thing at this point. Like, we haven't got to that place where we can, maybe it'll take a few years for that to be shown more. That, like, there's a woman leading the house, you know, the income, etc. Then our vocabulary will catch up to like what's happening in society. You know, I think we're still in the 60s with our vocab.
How do you, like, before we wrap it up, how do you feel if you were with somebody and they said, I don't want you to work, babes. I need to look after family. I need to stay home. Do you feel less of a man?
Do you know what? I'd love that.
Listen. You are a man after my heart. We are going official on Instagram.
Let's go. I always joke about it. I'm like, listen, if I can help you by being in the house and you're making more money, why not? Like, but I think it takes a level of security to be able to do that. Because when you go to a party, a lot of time, a lot of guys will be fine with it if no one knew, right? But as soon as you go to a party, they're like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I do this. I'm like, you know, head of accounting at, you know, this big firm. The lady says that. And then the guy goes, oh, what do you do? And he's like, I stay at home and look after the kids. Like, that, hearing that consistently and getting the judgment is why a lot of guys are going to definitely struggle with that. So it will take a very secure guy. Even though I said, yes, I'd love that, I'd struggle with it.
You'd have to move to Sweden. Sweden are very...
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit... The narrative's
exactly.
A little bit different.
Yeah, yeah. I think
so
I'd struggle.
We move in Sweden vibes.
Let's go Sweden. Yeah. Shout out Gothenburg.
There's been so many wonderful gems in this conversation. I can't wait to re-listen and unpack it all. So before we wrap it up, you know, man talk, sister speaks. If you were to give us a parting shot for any women that's listening on how we need to understand you as men better, what would you tell me?
So earlier I mentioned that, like, your superpower is the ability to listen, digest, and just sit there and let someone express. I think as much as we can say we want to live in a society with expressive men, this is not a dig. I don't think women actually want expressive men. I think they like it in theory, but when a guy is really expressive, I think it looks quite weak sometimes to ladies. That's what I think, and I think you're going to disagree.
I disagree with that statement. I need an expressive man. I need to know what's going on in your head.
Really? It doesn't take away from him at all from your point of view. No.
He's asking you.
Oh, no. You don't feel like it takes away at any point?
No, not at all. I think it makes the bond stronger, you know?
What if he cries?
That's okay. Cry. Release.
Okay, well, I have two types of crying. I've dumped a guy before and he just started crying. I was like, whoa, this was not in my script. So that for me was just like, oh yeah, I'm definitely, this is definitely over. So I think the context of why he's crying matters. But I do, I'm with Angela. I think Roy's the same.
Mm. I'm a crier, so you're not going to be crying.
We can cry together.
Yeah. Bye. I want you to express yourself and be in touch with your emotions and feelings. I don't want to be talking to a stone.
We want you to get in touch.
I find that very empowering. Mm.
Like, it is, man.
Really. Yeah. We need more ladies like you because some of the ones I spoke to, it's the opposite.
But you've literally just said that, like, ladies, if you haven't had, like, I think embrace somebody who's more expressive because our world is even changing that and making us... It's forcing you guys to look hard at yourselves and fix the internal things or fix the societal ideas of what a typical A man should look like or behave.
It was
a typical A woman.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm thinking also we should endeavor to be to hold space for men and everyone else to be able to express themselves and to feel validated, not invalidated, because often you go talk to someone and you're like, why are you so emotional? You need to hold space for that person to be expressive and to be to feel hard and see.
You've actually spoken to the second part, because it was like two sides of the coin. There's yes, you know, let them express,
right,
but also when you're letting them do that, it's going to take us like four times as long to even be able to express what we really want to say. Right, you know, the muscle.
So what's the balance?
I know, I mentioned the muscle I was talking about at the beginning, like, we're not used to doing it, so when you do create the space, it's going to take a lot of patience before the guy actually opens completely up.
So we should also look at how we raise our men.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm. Thank you so much, Eli.
Thank you. This has been fun.
Oh my God, we're having you back.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Wow. You have been listening to the Overact Podcast, a space where we openly talk about tough conversations and have hard conversations that trigger change. So, Eli, you've definitely, triggered a lot of positive change in our minds.
Thank you so much.
And you can catch this very episode tomorrow. It drops across all digital podcasts, Google, Spotify, SoundCloud. And yeah, whether you have ovaries, like Eli.
Wait, what?
Wink, wink. You came from ovaries. Not you're invited to overreact with us. Hey, it's your girl Monica Mhoya.
It's your girl Lash Angela.
And it's your girl Angela Wambui.
Let's overreact.